Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to a very special edition of Trisha's True Crime Radio, on at a little different time tonight, and we're going to do this throughout the trial. We're going to try and make it 9 o'clock Eastern all the time, but due to scheduling issues, we may have to be a little bit more flexible. So tonight, it's at the time right now, and tomorrow we're going to start it at 10:30 Eastern, but we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Welcome to Trisha's True Crime Radio, brought to you by the brand new forum on Web Sleuths. It's the Web Sleuths Weather Forum. If you dream, eat, sleep, and smell like the weather, you'll love the Weather Forum. Go to www.websleuths.com/forums and scroll down for the up-to-the-minute forum. Click on that, and you are in the weather. I have an update on the Dylan Redwine case. This just came out. The La Plata County Sheriff's Department said it found several items during a five-day search where 13-year-old Dylan Redwine went missing. Now, they're not saying they're Dylan's items. I made that mistake. I just assumed it was Dylan's stuff. They haven't said that. They've just said they have found items. The search wrapped up late Wednesday, and they searched this 12-mile stretch of Middle Mountain. And if you remember from my show, Mark Redwine, Dylan's father, talked a lot about Middle Mountain, and he felt that wasn't the place to search. Mark Redwine is on the road. He is on a campaign to get Dylan's face all over the country, and I'm trying to get him on the show on Sunday to talk about these latest developments. Anyway, the spokesperson, Dan Bender, for the Sheriff's Department, they're not saying anything else, just that they found items in the search for Dylan Redwine. What a day today in court, I am telling you. It is just, I don't even know where to begin, Cheryl McCollum. The witness, the one everybody is talking about, Rachel Gentel, the friend of Trayvon's who was on the phone with her. I honest to God, I do not even know where to start, Cheryl McCollum of the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. She came on, and you couldn't understand her. And, you know, I'll be honest. I'm going to be just brutally honest here. I was afraid to say that because I don't want to be called a racist. I couldn't understand her. And anyway, now they're showing her with captions underneath so you can read it. She was rude. Everything that you would not want to witness to do, she did. Other than standing up and doing a striptease, I'm telling you, she did all the horrible things. And this is the prosecution's star witness in their case against George Zimmerman in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. I am going to open it up to you, Cheryl McCollum, because I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, once again, we are seeing some things in this case that just leave us with our jaws dropped. She was rude. She was unprepared. I don't know who prepped her in the prosecution's office. They did a horrible job. She was real and she was authentic, but she should have been more gracious. She should have been more emotional. She should have been more concerned about Trayvon. For her to make a face behind
that
the back
so
of
bad.
An attorney, I mean, the jury is watching all of this. And the thing that is so bad, we've tried to stay away from race. She interjected a racial slur. Mm-hmm. We've tried to stay away from Trayvon's background. She has thrown every single stereotype in the world right in everybody's face. She sucked her teeth. She scratched her head. She laid on the podium. She said she wasn't coming back tomorrow. She told the defense attorney, you can read it. She told the defense attorney he should have picked her up Thursday then if she wanted, you know, he wanted to talk to her. I mean, it just went on. It was a train wreck. And she is such a wild card. Everybody on Twitter is destroying her. So, again, yes, she was who she is, but that's not helping Trayvon.
It's
if
not.
You're
and
trying
I felt,
to show
right.
him. Yeah, I mean, keep if you're trying it, yeah. to show him as the 12-year-old photograph you put out there and the young man that's horseback riding, she destroyed that because this is somebody he talked 400 minutes with. the day he died. This is somebody he exchanged hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of text messages with. Then this is the kind of person he hangs out with. This is his buddy. And tomorrow, here's my prediction. I'm going to tell you straight out.
Let's hear your prediction.
They're going to destroy her with her own words off social media. She will
be profane.
Mm-hmm. She will be, you know, hate-filled. And what they're going to show, again, is why didn't she go to the police? And when did she frame her statement? Was it only after hearing from the family's attorney what she needed to say? And they're going to go back.
Right.
Go ahead.
Going to go back and no, you're going to go back and what?
They're going to get everything that she started mm-hmm. posting the day she found out that he died.
Mm-hmm.
And that will paint a very authentic picture.
And does it appear to you, Cheryl, let's be honest here, that she was coached to change her story to help Trayvon? Do you think that's actually
that's
the case?
That's certainly where they're going. That's where they're going. And here's the thing. Usually the first story you tell is the closest to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't call the police. Why? This is a friend since childhood. Trayvon was obviously somebody she cared an awful lot about. They had a great relationship, whether it was friendship or a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Because that much communication, the young man, they were obviously close.
Very close.
Very close. But you don't go to the funeral and you lie about it.
Well,
they
now,
ask your,
go ahead. I'm sorry. You have much more important things than I do. What were you going to say about the funeral?
No, I doubt it. But I'm just saying you lie to the most important people left of his family about why you weren't there.
What was the lie
and
what was the truth?
She said she didn't go to the wake of the funeral because she was so distraught she went to the hospital. Well, that is a statement that gets sympathy toward you.
Mm-hmm.
Why did she need sympathy? See?
Right.
And she claimed, no, that wasn't true. I felt guilty. Now listen to this statement. I felt guilty because I was the last person to talk to him and I didn't want to see the body. Not Trayvon's body, the body.
That is a very odd thing to say.
That's a very odd thing to say. Because you can go to a wake and not go anywhere near the casket. You can go to a funeral and not go anywhere near the casket. You don't have to go see the body. But she wrote the mother, Ms. Fulton, a letter. Now here again, this is somebody you've known since childhood. You're extremely close.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know how to spell his name?
Right. What do you think the real story is? What do you think the real story is? Why didn't she go? She just didn't care?
I don't think that she didn't care. And I don't know. Her mother was out of the country, supposedly. Maybe it's as simple as she didn't have a ride. Maybe
mm-hmm.
she was scared to go. Because see, here's the deal. People get freaked out when they think they're going to be asked questions.
Right.
What was she talking to Trayvon about for 400 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why would
and
she you, lie
yeah.
about her age? Let's just walk through this. Why
okay.
would you tell somebody you're 16? Why wouldn't you say I'm 18? He's my friend. I've known him since we were 6, right?
I don't know. I can't figure that out. Do you have an answer?
Well, I have a speculation.
A theory. Let's hear your speculation.
They had a sexual relationship.
And
she did not want to admit to having sex with a minor.
Okay. I see. Gotcha.
See
that very well could be.
Can they arrest me? Can they mm-hmm. bring up drug use of mine? Can they bring up that I bought drugs from Trayvon, sold drugs, smoked with Trayvon? I don't
mm-hmm.
know what her paranoia may have been, but people don't go to the police for a reason.
Right.
People lie about their age for a reason. People lie about not going to a funeral for a reason. And all of those are generally self-serving reason.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where the prosecution is. Your star witness is a liar. Your star witness is rude. Your star witness is disrespectful. Your star witness is changing her story.
Oh, yes, exactly.
That is so problematic. We don't even have enough time to talk about it tonight. But again, the reality is what those six people see and hear and interpret and understand.
Exactly.
And I'm just telling you, with some retired white women, they are not going to see somebody that was being real and authentic and sick of being asked questions because she just didn't want to be involved. This
mm-hmm.
is your friend since childhood. What would you not do for him should be the question. If you want to hide.
Right. Well, and you bring
and
up a very good point. Why would she hide and not want to get involved? Because she's afraid of something. And what is usually behind
right.
all of this? It's probably, I'm guessing, just speculating, and I could be wrong, it's probably some sort of drug issue is probably
it
a big
be.
Part of it. And like you said, it could be she didn't want to have that trouble of having sex with a minor. Those two things could be it.
Mm-hmm.
There could be something
mm-hmm.
even more, but she is afraid of something coming out about her and Trayvon, and she's trying to come up with the right story. Do you think, oh boy, you know what, that I was going to ask you a question, but that will put you too much on the spot. So tomorrow, she's
mm-hmm.
going to get up there. If she shows up, she may not show up. You've got to remember that.
Oh,
she may not show up.
She's going to show up. Oh, she'll show up. Oh,
you
she'll
think
go
so?
To jail. Oh, they've got her right now at a motel. She didn't even go home. She's
oh,
their
okay.
star witness. They
okay.
they not only put her behind in a motel, they took her cell phone.
mm-hmm.
Because
ah.
they're, I'm telling you, Mr. West lined this up. And keep in mind, somebody of his seasoned ability is not going to ask a question he doesn't know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
He asked her over and over and over the same type of question, so that tomorrow, tweet, after Facebook post, after Facebook post, I just have a feeling he's going to slam her until she basically holds no credibility at all. Because again, keep in mind, the only person so far that has interjected a racial slur is their star witness. And their star witness said the victim said it, a crazy-ass cracker.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be in my closing. If I'm
I was just going to say, is that something that they're really going to focus on? Hey, here's the racial slur. It's nothing
it's,
that Zimmerman
it's what
said.
He said.
And she said it, yeah,
George hasn't
the star
used
witness.
The N-word. He hasn't used the racial slur that we've heard. They wanted to focus today on 5 of the phone calls, 5 of the 98.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's the best you got? 5
That's it?
Of 98. That's
mm-hmm.
it. And keep in mind the number of witnesses that have already come forward that live in the community that are non-white.
Yeah.
George lived in a community that was not all white, not by
right.
any means. He chose to live there.
Exactly.
But they don't want to focus on the calls he made where the suspicious people were not
mm-hmm.
white males. But of the 98, they picked 5. It's not even good math.
Cheryl, somebody just wrote this as Sulamith in the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio, on Trisha's True Crime Radio. And I agree with this. Unreal to me how comments on Facebook and Twitter can come back to bite a person. And I think this is a great lesson. And I will
mm-hmm.
preach this till I die. You put something on the internet, I don't care if you delete it within 1 second. It's there forever. So please be careful. And kids don't get it. They don't understand how this is going to affect their whole lives. You know, you got somebody
right.
going down to Merrill Lynch trying to get a job at just coming out of Harvard. And here on his Facebook page, it shows him, you know, at somebody pouring beer, you know, on his rear end in some sort of, you know, odd beer drinking
right.
contest. You know, it's just, they're so young, sure. And they don't get it, and it's so frustrating. We do have a caller, and thank God, because I know he has some intelligent questions, because he is amazing. It's Michael from Minnesota. Michael, say hi to Cheryl McCollum.
Hi, Cheryl. Cheryl, how are you?
I'm excellent, Michael. How are you, dear?
I'm fine. I'm with Tricia, though. I could not believe my ears when I was listening to today's testimony. Oof, I didn't understand a word she was saying. Really, I had to concentrate so hard, and I felt sorry for her, and I felt sorry for the jurors. I felt sorry for everyone in that courtroom and the court reporter specifically. Too much. Now, you mentioned and referenced the tweets and her Facebook pages. Are you aware of what those tweets and posts are or were?
No, I just have a feeling as an investigator, I know that's a place that I would have gone immediately, learning her name. And I just have a feeling the way that Mr. West was framing his questions today, he knows. And
it sounds to
I
me
don't
like
think
that recorded interview that she did with Crump is going
right.
to play a major role. Apparently it was played by ABC on a network or something.
Right.
Are we aware, have you heard that interview, and do you know what she said that they're going to contradict?
I have not been privy to it. I don't know that anybody has, but again, a seasoned attorney is not going to ask a question they don't know the answer to. For example, there wasn't a cop in this country that listened to, you know, the attorney asked Mark Furman, have you ever used the N-word?
Exactly.
Right there, they know. They know you have, or they wouldn't have asked it.
Mm-hmm.
They asked her over and over and over, when did you first say this? When did you first say that? When did you learn? You know, for example, in her statement today, she said she heard like a scuffle and wet grass. Michael, can you hear wet grass?
No,
no.
I really thought that was incredible.
Asinine.
Yeah, but
so
I did.
She's saying things that can't be true. And here's the other thing. She said that she heard Trayvon say, get off, get off. Trayvon was the one on top. We know that.
We know that. So
she's
making that up. And they're going to bring that out in cross. They're going to bring that out in cross tomorrow. Let me just tell everybody, you're listening to Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute on Trisha's True Crime Radio. We are talking about the case that has the country talking and everybody mad. That is the George Zimmerman case. He is accused, charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of a teenager, Trayvon Martin. And this is in Florida, so it's all on TV, folks. And we're talking about the witness that we saw today, Rachel Gentel. She'll be on tomorrow with the defense attorney. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be very ugly, Cheryl. Michael, did you have any other questions, my dear?
Well, I do, and I'm sure Cheryl will just cover him as she speaks, but one thing I didn't really understand was her reasoning, and again, it could have just been my inability to understand her, but I didn't want to look at his mother. I didn't want to have to see her cry, I think she said, if I understood it correctly. She tried to tell her mother, don't allow me to talk to her. Tell her you won't allow me to talk to her, but her mother did anyway. If I cared even a little bit about anyone, first of all, I don't talk or text with anyone. It doesn't sound like as much as she talked and texted with Trayvon. But if I had that level of intimacy with a close friend, I would want to reach out. I would have wanted to say, what happened? I lost the connection, and next thing I'm hearing, my friend is dead. Can someone tell me what happened? I thought he was the guy who did it was arrested, and that was the end of it. I mean, I just don't know who thinks like that, but maybe I'm projecting my life experience on her. I don't understand.
She's saying these things, but I believe tomorrow when they go back to her Facebook and tweet, maybe that's when she found out he died. Maybe it's not. Maybe she thought he had been arrested, or maybe she said some things that were very clear that she knew he had not been. So I think tomorrow is going to be hang on to your bed. I think it's going to be land blasted.
It is. It's going to be a very uncomfortable today, or a very uncomfortable day in court tomorrow. Michael, we do have some other questions. Do you have anything else, my dear? I love your questions. That's why I always go to you, because you ask what I'm thinking.
Leave me on, and I'll think. I'll speak
okay.
Up if I think of anything. But
yeah, just stay
I'll
here.
Be quiet
I will.
Otherwise.
Yeah, don't do dishes or brush your teeth or anything. That's what people do all the time. I put them on, and I hear them brushing their teeth. I've heard them, you know, feeding the dog. And so we do have some questions from Web Sleuth. Some people put in some questions. Let me get to those right now. This is from Trudy. During today's testimony of Dee Dee, witness number 8, she stated that she was not his girlfriend, but that he did have a girlfriend that used her phone to text Trayvon because his true girlfriend did not have a phone. Did anyone ever interview his true girlfriend? Is it possible that Trayvon was really talking to his true girlfriend that night and not Dee Dee? And then she goes on to say the witness seemed reluctant to testify. What, is there another girlfriend in this mix, Cheryl, that we don't know about?
I believe that he had a real girlfriend, and that Dee Dee might be, you know, a liaison, whatever you want to call it. But I think that he and Dee Dee had a side relationship.
Now, Dee Dee is Rachel, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's one of her nicknames. Right,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So, keep going, I'm sorry.
You know, again, whether it was sexual or drugs or something else, again, there's a reason you lie about your age. There's mm-hmm. a reason, you know, you lie about not want to talk to his family or the police. Again, she's hiding something, because if she was attention-seeking, then she would have been the first one at the wake and the funeral, and she testified today that she had friends texting her the whole time they were there, updating her on every single little thing. Mm. Then why weren't you there?
What are you afraid of? My gut tells me, and I have nothing to base this on, but it's got to be some sort of drug thing. And I don't think it's any, like, major drug deals or anything like that. But, you know, you're afraid. If you don't, you know, you don't want to find you're young. You don't want to be caught doing something like that. To me, that just kind of seems like the logical choice. But it could be anything. We could be totally surprised. I'm going to go to a phone call. I have no idea who this is. It says restricted. So if this is a crank call, I will find you. I will hunt you down like the animal you are. Hi, who's this? Doesn't sound like a crank call yet. Who's this?
Hi. Hello?
Hi. You're on the air, my dear.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I thought I would. Okay, I haven't done this before. I've listened to your show for a while, and I would like to tell you how much I admire the way you're trying very, very hard to make sure things are balanced. And
thank you.
You're trying to give time on both sides of the equation. I find this really fascinating because I'm from Canada, and gun laws are totally different up here than down there. But we have, because I live in Vancouver, we have a port city. There are lots of people I would consider to be thugs that live here as well as any other place in the world. Anyway, I'm getting off topic, and my topic was that I'm wondering how much the defense attorneys can displace some of the anger people are feeling just in general towards this girl by focusing on her, creative attempts to skirt the truth, however you want to phrase it. I'm so nervous. I cannot imagine being a witness on a stand.
Exactly.
If somebody as nice as you. But that was my question. And also I was wondering if your guest could speak about the deposition process. Could some of the resentment, the real disrespect that's being shown on the stand with Dee Dee, could that have started with the whole deposition process? Is there
Absolutely.
Something Could have. Okay. Would you mind talking about that? And then I have a question not related to this at all that you may not get to for a couple more shows. But this is
okay.
In regards to George Zimmerman himself and the
mm-hmm.
injuries that he had. And I was wondering if you could talk about gun recoil. If somebody was injured by a recoil of a gun, could
mm-hmm,
they
sure.
have injuries similar to what George Zimmerman had? Those are my questions. Thank you so very, very much for the
okay. Well, you know what?
Well, I will try to answer all of that.
Can I just say something? Because I love this person because they love me and I'm shallow. So if someone loves me, I love them right back. Thank you for your call from Canada. You have just made my night. I can't even tell you. What is your first name?
Wendy. I'm Web Sleuth under Wendy Sam. So I am
I decided to
join up because I don't know if I can ever help in anything, but I want to try.
So, well, Wendy, let me tell you.
It's a fantastic outlet. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And, Wendy, let me tell you, I hear that a lot. People say, I don't know if I can do anything. Just by posting, I swear it helps, especially if you go into the cold case or the missing forums and just post a little note, I'm thinking of you, to a family member. It can mean the
mm-hmm.
world. So you do have a lot of power, Wendy. Wendy, you have made my night. Thank you so much. We will try to get all of your questions. And I think that's a fascinating question about the recoil as well. So thank you for calling all the way from Canada. Yay, I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you very
Take
much.
Care,
Both
Wendy.
Of you. And I'll hang up now and try to find you on the net again.
Okay, thanks,
thank
Wendy.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a sweetheart. Okay, Cheryl McCollum, what do you think? Could have started the deposition, the ink. Let's talk about the gun, the 9mm. The recoil,
yeah.
Could that have broken his nose, you know, if it
Absolutely
hit back?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. The gun is actually a very small handgun,
mm-hmm.
and it would have been a very smooth, you know, just little pop. It would have moved very little in his hand. And the
mm-hmm.
way he would have extended it, it was nearly a contact with the chest. It would have never, never been able to come all the way back and break his nose. Not at all. No.
It's an interesting question. I never would have thought of it, but that is a very interesting way
thinking.
To look at it.
She's
yeah, she's
thinking.
Exactly.
But, you know, there was a bullet in the chamber, so he wouldn't even
mm-hmm.
have to rack it. I mean, it was ready to go.
It was ready. The deposition could... Kaditi, and we're talking about the witness that was on the stand, that is her nickname, and I think that's kind of the name we know her by, Rachel Gentel, Kaditi.
Sure.
Could this anger have really started in the deposition? Because I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine they probably came down hard on her during a deposition, assuming she did take one, correct?
She took one. Here's
okay.
the deal. Of course it could. She met with Mr. Crump first, Trayvon's family's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that set the tone. Trayvon is your friend. Trayvon died. You're the last person that talked to him before he was shot. When you meet with West, and West is representing the guy that shot your friend, what do you have to say to him? You're working
right.
to try to get this guy out of prison. I don't have a damn thing to say to you. Absolutely, she had an attitude with him. Wes, again, decides to start with a knock-knock joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's not going to be a lot of respect there from her. He may, she intimated today, they came and picked her up. So they sent a car for her. She probably met them in a huge conference room. You know, they're a boutique law firm. So she might have thought they were being condescending. This don't
mm-hmm.
impress me. You know, what are you trying to do? But the reality is, again, it depends on how you hear her testimony. Some people are going to say, okay, they sent a car for her. They took her deposition. They're going to cross-check what she said then versus what she's saying now.
Mm-hmm.
Other
and that's how
people are going to hear,
right.
this is your childhood friend, and you couldn't even get your butt down there?
And what is she going to say?
I mean, you ain't got a car?
Right.
See? So they're going to, again, the stereotype, we're going right back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going right back. And there's a reason, and you and I talked about this months and months and months ago. There's a reason. You have not met any of Trayvon's friends? Where's the football team? Where are the people he went to the movies with? Where are
right.
the people he hung out with? Why haven't we met them? Because they fit the stereotype they're trying to get away from.
Got it. Okay, here's a good question. This comes from Moo Cow. Yes, we love our Moo Cow. Here's the question. Boy, you know what? It got all confangled here in the sending it to me. I'll try and decipher it. Dee Dee left out the get off me part of the phone call until later in the deposition. There's no mention of that dialogue, but later she includes it. I guess they can just come in and just tear that apart and say, you just made that up, right? I mean, why wouldn't she say that in the beginning?
That's what they're going to suggest, absolutely. Because, again, that is critical. I heard Trayvon say, get off of me. You would lead with that.
Yes.
Not, I heard wet grass. You know that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hear wet grass. It doesn't even make any sense.
And Levi.
You said you couldn't tell whether or not it was Trayvon screaming. You know,
right.
if you said yes, it was definitely him screaming. I mean, okay.
It's bad. Levi, the Levi Page Show, asked this question, and I think a lot of people have thought this, and it's not to be rude. I really do feel for this person on the stand. She's still a kid. And this is not to be rude, but it's something everybody, I think, is thinking. Perhaps because she has some sort of learning disability. She says she's 19 and still in high school. I mean, that's kind of, I'm kind of getting that feeling,
and
maybe.
Couldn't spell Trayvon's name. Listen to
right.
me. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And
okay.
I love Levi Page. I love
I do
the
too.
Levi Page show.
He's
so,
wonderful.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But again, they're going to want to stay away from that, probably both sides. Because
mm-hmm.
even though the defense is obviously going to try to impeach this witness, you do not want to become an asshole yourself. Pardon
exactly.
my language.
No, that's
you,
exactly it. That's it.
I mean, I only know one way to tell people the truth. But
right.
you know, honestly, there's a real fine line of you doing your job and you
mm-hmm.
just being a bully. So if there's a reason she didn't know how to spell his name or just inadvertently spelled it wrong, then... you know, that's something the jury would easily be able to accept.
Mm-hmm.
If I were the defense attorney, I'd stay away from it. I wouldn't mention
right.
it.
Right. Me,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's obvious, so, or it not
she
obvious
knew
exactly
him, she
what it is.
About him.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. A question from Bourne. Is it legal and fair for the judge to allow the state to introduce prior 911 calls of Zimmerman into the courtroom in order to establish Zimmerman's state of mind and character on the night of Martin's shooting, but not allow the defense to do the same, showing Martin's text, Twitter pictures, messages, and fight videos? What say
right.
you, my dear?
Again, y'all know I'm a purist. I think that both sides
absolutely.
Should be able to come out. If he's
mm-hmm.
called 911 every single time he sees a black person, absolutely that needs to come out. If he thinks every single black person he sees is up to no good, that goes to his state of mind the night that he saw Trayvon Martin. On the other hand, if Trayvon Martin is trying to buy a gun and making fight videos and getting suspended 3 times in 1 year, and smoking weed, that's something we need to know. Now, where the argument comes in, again, there's no way George Zimmerman could have known that when he saw the child.
Right,
exactly.
You see
exactly. him, he's got a hoodie on and baggy pants. That doesn't make him a weed smoker. That doesn't make him somebody that's been suspended. That doesn't make him somebody that makes fight videos. That, frankly, makes him a 17-year-old kid anywhere. Vermont,
exactly.
Miami, Atlanta, Willahoochee. I mean, that's a style. That's a very common manner of dress right now. And so
absolutely.
To infer anything else is risky at best. So, you know, his past doesn't matter in that regard as far as George's understanding. Now, if George knew from the neighborhood that, you know, there's a kid visiting this neighbor and he's only here because he got suspended. That's prior knowledge. George
mm-hmm.
didn't have that.
Right.
But what George does have, again, this is why this case, left, right, you just keep going back and forth. The 911 operator asked the race. George didn't offer it. And when
mm-hmm.
George answered, he said, I think black.
Mm-hmm. So
I mean,
he wasn't even sure.
Sound,
so, right. That doesn't sound
sure,
racist.
And it's not
right.
like he called and said, hey, there's a black guy standing here. He
mm-hmm.
called and said, there's a guy standing here suspicious. And the 911 operator said, what's his race? I think black.
And that kind of leads me into a little bit into the next question from Bourne. And I think this is very interesting. There is a double standard, let's face it. If George Zimmerman would have actually used a racial slur, it would be all over the place. But yet we have Trayvon's friend saying that he called George a cracker and the N-word. Why isn't he being shown, why aren't people screaming that he's a racist? Obviously, he's, you know, the victim and, you know, he got the worst of it. It's he's the one that is suffering the most. We know that. But you see what I mean? There's a double standard, don't you think?
Oh, we can prove that there is.
Okay.
George was slammed all over every media outlet for using the word coon that he
mm-hmm.
never used.
He never used?
This witness has stated very clearly that Trayvon used a racial slur, and
mm-hmm.
all anybody can say is, oh, this witness was real. She was authentic. What?
Yeah.
You know? So I believe that the defense is going to make more out of it, but later. They're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the media, you know, the media is not going to make a big deal out of it because, you know,
well, he's a, you know, he was a kid that was
reality.
Killed, and I can understand not wanting to trash him. But it is, if it were a different situation and Trayvon was alive and this was, you know, a battle over a fight.
The case would be over.
Right.
The case
exactly.
would be over. If they had him on 911 using a racial slur ever,
mm-hmm.
if they had him on video at a party using a racial slur ever, it would be over.
Right.
It'd be over. I mean, look at the famous cook right now.
Oh, yeah, Paula Deen.
Used the N-word 20 years ago, and they fire her. So,
I
mean, there you go.
Yeah. I know. It's,
but I'm just saying, there you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think the other reality is there's not the power in the word cracker or honky.
There you go. It doesn't have the same connotation and meaning. I mean, the N-word to a black person.
White people don't care.
No. Well, because we weren't, you know.
I mean, we don't care.
Right. We weren't you know, stolen from our families and made into slaves and you know, on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, let's, I mean, if anybody denies the fact that black people have had a real rough go in this country, they're wrong. And the N-word is one of the words the white people would use to hold
sure.
the black person down. And so it has a horrible connotation. You can't, you're
and,
right,
and
very good. You can't,
I mean.
Compare,
the other words,
you can't compare
they don't
the
have
two.
The same power. Mm-hmm.
The cracker, big deal, you know? Nobody
yeah,
cares.
Whatever.
But yeah, the N-word is, it has so much horrible racial history to it that's why it's the that's why they make the big deal that they do. It's just something that we shouldn't say anymore. It you know, I don't know.
Right.
That's a whole other show. Whole other show.
Logic
okay.
With what the defense could do with that. It shows
mm-hmm.
the character of Trayvon Martin.
Of Trayvon, and that's what they're going to do.
It does.
And they should. They're defense attorneys, that's what they should do. Now,
but their key witness, the prosecution's key witness, showed his character that they have tried so hard to keep out.
And
don't
now
show
it's
the
over.
Facebook pictures where he's flipping everybody off. Don't
mm-hmm.
show the Facebook pictures that he chose to post smoking weed.
Right.
Don't show the Facebook pictures with his gang tattoos. Yet she's going to interject his personality and his character right there.
Right there. And all that hard work, it's just kind of gone with the wind. Here's another
question. Okay.
No, please, go ahead.
I'll just
depends
say it
on...
depends, again, on the experiences and the understanding of the people in that jury box that are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be one or two people that hear it extremely negatively. And again, hung jury, reasonable doubt
there
right there.
Because
mm-hmm. if he says this crazy-ass cracker, and then he tells her, I ain't running, that sounds like somebody that speaks to get aggressive.
And that
because,
sounds like, yeah,
you know,
getting ready to fight.
Law enforcement, yeah, mm-hmm. working in law enforcement, as soon as somebody starts calling you a name, they're fixing to pop off.
Right. Exactly.
So
he
says, crazy-ass cracker, and I ain't running.
There
all
you
right.
go. And there's George Zimmerman's defense of, you know,
reasonable
doing
doubt.
What he had to do.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And then here's another interesting question brought up by Bourne as well. Is it considered perjury if a witness states in court that while being deposed, they didn't take the deposition seriously, made whimsical statements that weren't really necessarily accurate. In other words, like Dee Dee did, you know, she said one thing
and
in the deposition.
Already admitted she wasn't accurate.
Yeah.
She wasn't accurate. So here's the deal. It's
is that perjury?
Like saying, I'm guilty. Well, let me explain. It's kind of
okay.
like saying I'm guilty with an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've just said you're guilty. So I don't care what the reason is. She just
got
said,
it.
I wasn't accurate. Well, not being accurate is the same as not telling the truth.
It's lying, right.
How big of a rush could you have been in, ma'am, that you said something that wasn't true about your arguably best friend's murder? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Tricia, seriously, you don't have time to speak to an attorney accurately about your best friend's murder.
That's wrong. Very bad. Yeah. Something's wrong.
You have to be. You don't have children. You don't have a job. You know, you're not performing surgery in an hour. I think
mm-hmm.
you have time.
Yeah. You.
So
yeah.
Again,
exactly.
It looks bad. You don't want to meet with anybody. You don't want to go on the record. You don't want to be recorded. Why
mm-hmm.
not, ma'am? There's something
what?
She's afraid they're going to find out. And I'm telling you, they already know.
And you, yes, go ahead. Michael from Minnesota, my backup when I'm babbling like an idiot and don't know what I'm saying. Michael, go right ahead.
Not at all, Tricia. But I'm glad Cheryl touched on this because I thought that was odd. Of all the players that Dee Dee would want to speak with, I would think the Martin family attorney, or Crump, would have been the friendliest of all for her to tell her story to. So when she made the comments that the Crump interview didn't, or depo or whatever she called it, didn't mean nothing to me, that I didn't understand, it was, could you speak to that? That made no sense to me. Because like
no,
I said,
I
that would have...
No, I think you just said it beautifully, Michael. And again, if I'm the defense attorney, I'm going to have poster boards as big as Dallas, and one of them is going to say, it didn't mean nothing to me, okay? Your sworn testimony, because a deposition, you're under oath, didn't mean nothing to her.
Yeah, to their lied attorney, it was essentially Trayvon's attorney, really, if you looked at it that way.
Absolutely it was, but it meant
uh-huh.
nothing to her. So why? Why in the world would it not mean anything? Everything to you, because honey, this is the last thing you can ever do for Trayvon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody keeps saying, oh, it's not easy to be a witness. It's not easy to be a witness. I've been a witness more than once. And in one way, okay, it may not be the greatest experience because, you know, you know at one point you're fixing to be a little dissected. But when you're telling the truth, and it is from a place of experience because it happened, and you're just telling exactly what happened, you're not afraid.
No, and what are you doing in a closet? She said she
well,
was in a closet.
Well, that's
I didn't
of course
understand
you
that.
Yes, you do. Michael, when you grew up, your house had a landline, didn't it?
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and you probably had one phone. And so when your siblings were around, where did you go talk?
In the closet.
Never the
I did
closet.
The same thing.
In the closet. Because you
never.
Wanted privacy.
I had four older sisters, honey. I talked in the closet a lot. But it's because that's the only door I could close and have some privacy. Why would you need privacy again to tell the truth, a story you should have already told everybody you know?
Yeah.
But you call your mama in a foreign country and say, tell this mama of my best friend who's dead, I don't want to meet with her, and I don't want to talk to their attorney. And then your mama flips on you. How does that resonate with any logic to anybody? She never even cleared that up, right?
No.
Okay. Right.
And then she's hiding in a closet. That makes no sense to anybody. And then she says, I rushed through it anyway. It didn't mean nothing to me.
Yeah,
and then she follows up by saying, and I ain't coming tomorrow. What?
Boy, that was bad.
Oh, my Lord. Again, this is the last thing she can do for her friend.
And that just leads me back to what Levi Page mentioned, and I agree. I think there's something more going on there with some sort of disability, and that would probably make more sense. Because
I think you and Levi are being very kind. She is hiding something that she did that was not above board. Having to learn a disability.
Well,
let's say she's dyslexic, and that's the reason he couldn't spell his name. She damn well knows how old she is.
Right. Well, do you think it could be she's just made this all up to help Trayvon, and there was
that's
none of this type of conversation? So the whole thing could just be totally made up, and now they're pushing her and pushing her, and she's falling apart.
Tomorrow is going to clear up a lot of things, because tomorrow is when the coup de grace happens. I'm just telling you. I sat there today, and I thought, okay, how many times did the prosecution today say, Your Honor, objection, ask and answered? He knows what he asked her. He knows how many times he asked her. Mr. West wants to be sure that this jury has heard her say over and over and over, I didn't say anything. I didn't know then. I didn't know till this time. And I only said it this way because I was in a hurry. But this, I'm telling you right now, happened. Wait till tomorrow.
Oh, I don't know if I can handle it. Oops.
I know. That's just going to be so stressful. I mean, we're not even there, and I'm already stressed out just thinking about it. But I want to go back to something that you said, Cheryl McCollum, and that is it's hard being a witness. People look at it and think, you know, I could do that. Well, I thought I could, too. I was a witness for the prosecution in a federal stalking case, and I had everything ready to go, and I get up there, and within 30 seconds, the judge has already threatened to throw me out. And I'm like, what the hell did I do? You know, I didn't think I did anything. He was a jerk. But, you know, it is. It's very intimidating. But I think you're right. I think her whole story is going to fall apart. I've always wondered if somebody somewhere sat her down and said, we need you to do this. Again, I'm just speculating. I have nothing to base this on. We need you to do this for Trayvon. Make up this story. And here's what you need to say. And, you know, if you have
Trisha,
other
you remember
issues
a couple of nights ago when you and I were talking, and I said they're not going to say a lot of things. They're just going to float it out there because the jury will get it, and they will draw a conclusion. You're doing it.
There you go.
You're doing exactly what I said the defense was going to do. Of course that's what everybody thinks. Oh, she met with Crump. He told her, look, the only way we're going to get this crazy-ass cracker is the new A, B, C, and D. Because here's my question. Has Trayvon ever used the word cracker?
I've never seen it.
And here's my other question. You want me to believe that a 17-year-old young man, who for all intents and purposes is fairly tough, said in any way that he was frightened to a female?
A girl, exactly.
I find that hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
If anything,
absolutely,
he might have done a little posturing. I'm not afraid of this crazy-ass cracker.
I'm going to kick
running.
His ass.
Those
right.
statements I believe, but I don't believe at all that he led her to believe that he was afraid. I do not believe that.
And this really could be one of the most, if not the most, pivotal moments in the trial tomorrow with this witness, with Dee Dee, Rachel, whatever her name is.
It could be over tomorrow.
That's what I was about to get to. It could be over tomorrow. We could be looking at a hung jury or an acquittal. Now, let me ask you this. If there is an acquittal, what do you think will happen? Is Florida, is that city ready to ignite?
No, I think they're going to be able to handle it. And again, I think by people reporting like they are, I think with Twitter and Facebook, people heard it.
Mm-hmm.
People of her own race are slamming her.
Right.
When they did a poll tonight on APLN, it was like 49-51 whether she was even believable. Well, there's your hung jury right there.
There's
your hung jury.
Well, you know, don't you think, though, as we're looking at this and we're seeing the prosecution's case, and granted, it's very early, and maybe this is very presumptuous of me to say, but I'll say it anyway because it's my show. I think the prosecution, even though their case now seems to be very weak based on their star witness, I think they really had to bring this case against George Zimmerman, or there would have been a lot of trouble, and I think rightly so, because I've always said when it gets right down to it, George was the adult and George had the gun. And, you know, that to me is just that's where I have a real problem with everything. But don't you think that the prosecution did have to bring, after the federal authorities got involved, they had to bring charges against him, don't you think? Or am I wrong? Am I just, like, up in the night?
I mean, it was just political at that point. Because, again, keep in mind, the FBI, they don't get involved with murder cases. They don't want murder cases.
Right.
They only get involved when there's a federal crime. What's the federal crime?
There was not one.
So they're not involved with this case. That was for show. That's all that
Got
was.
Got it. That's true. Michael, what were you going to say?
Well, when you asked that question, I said no, because I don't believe it had to go to trial. And you talk about George being the adult. I think George was taking his position very seriously as the neighborhood watch. His
mm-hmm.
good friend Taffy's house had just been robbed. He was concerned and looking out for his neighborhood. And really, it's a shame a gun ended up having to be drawn, and it's a shame they came to blows. But I really don't. I would be glad if I lived in a neighborhood that was laden with crime to have someone like George patrolling the streets and keeping an eye on everyone's safety. I think somehow that whole thing has
been
lost.
Here's the other issue that we have to keep in mind: he legally had that gun.
I know.
He had a permit. And here's the issue. Yes, he was the adult. By how many months? And if this case were flipped, Trayvon would be tried as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's
right.
What I
okay,
said
so
yesterday.
You're talking about months. So, again, people are making a big issue that George got out of the truck. He got out of the truck. That is not illegal. And getting out
mm-hmm.
of the truck does not make him an aggressor.
Uh-uh. Especially if you lose sight of someone in a darkened area in the rain. You want
but
to know where did they go?
Community.
What did they do?
Right. And again, I would not advise anyone to follow somebody that they believe is suspicious in any way. However, it's not illegal to do it.
I know. I just, if he, so many ifs.
And
you know,
here's
that's
the thing. He wasn't on patrol.
Right.
He wasn't patrolling. He was a private citizen that had a gun permit that had it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this would be a very different situation had he not had it. And see, people don't want to talk about that either. That gun may have saved his life, which is what it is supposed to do.
Or that maybe it just been a fist fight and there have been a couple of broken noses. You know, that's the tragic.
Cheryl, if you were to grade West, how would you say he did today? I noticed Levi in the chat room said something about he didn't think he was effective because on cross you should want the witness to answer yes or no. But I thought he showed a lot of patience and kindness and restraint when dealing with her. I would have wanted to slap her. I mean, how many ways can you say speak up, talk slower, talk louder, talk clearer? I mean,
I'll answer it this way. If I had to choose who won today, the defense.
That's what I thought, too.
Because they are now in the process of flipping yet another key witness.
And that is what...
You have the first eyewitness that changed her testimony. For the first time ever, she mentions left to right. She's never mentioned that before till she got on the stand. Well, she now has no credibility. Now you've got their star witness. This is the best they've got. That's admitted to being a liar. That's admitted to being in a hurry and rushed and didn't want to do it. Admitted she wasn't coming back. Admitted she didn't want to be involved. Admitted she didn't want to meet with the mama, talk to the daddy. Didn't want nothing to do with anything. But then says that the victim uttered a racial slur.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the best you have.
That's
a disaster. The prosecution is having, you know, a lot of difficulty, and having a lot of difficulty arguably with a case they should not be having this kind of difficulty. The problem, and I'm going to say again, whoever prepped Didi did a horrible job. Because again, when it comes out tomorrow that she had on a picture of her fingernails and called them court nails, again, infer what you will, but some people are going to take that to mean, hey, you know, she's putting on so that she can look good for court. Well, clearly, she had new hair, she had new nails. Why are you dressing up? You know you're fixing to be in the spotlight.
Right.
Okay, the crime scene tech didn't do that. She showed up on the stand just like she looks every day in a ponytail. With a shirt on from the police department. So, again, good luck tomorrow. And just don't be late turning it on at 9 o'clock. Cause it's a,
well, Cheryl, we're going to definitely tomorrow. It's going to be at, what time do we say, 10:30 Eastern tomorrow. Is
right.
The time it'll be, because you are going to be on HLN tomorrow on what show?
After Dark.
After Dark, okay. You were going to be on tonight, and there was an issue, so you're going to be on tomorrow. So, oh, wait, if you're going to be on After Dark, then that, it, yeah, it would be, yeah, that's right, that's right. Sorry,
yeah,
I get all confused with time.
11:30 Eastern, isn't it?
Well, After Dark,
yeah, I'll be free at
10:30. You'll be free at 10:30 Eastern.
Correct.
Because you'll be on at, okay, yeah. If I'll tell you what, check back with me and see, and we'll give you the definite time, but we'll just keep you hopping around. We like to keep you jumping here on Trisha's True Crime Radio by throwing out different times. But it's because you're so popular, Cheryl. I mean, what can you do? Michael, anything else, my dear? We're going to wrap it up here. It is late. Poor Cheryl's got to get to bed. It's going to be a hot, raging day in court
Cheryl's
tomorrow.
Good. Y'all call anytime. You know, I get very little sleep anyway. It is all groovy.
Good.
I just
want
to say thank you to Cheryl, because I again, your perspective and your intuition and your insights are so helpful to all of us who really don't know what to make of this case. So I really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, Michael, very much. And I hope I'm right about tomorrow. We'll see. And if I'm not, we'll talk about that too.
Well, it is going to be a very, very interesting day tomorrow, to say the least. Michael and Cheryl and everybody, Wendy in Canada, and all my friends listening and calling in, thank you so very, very much. I do. Whoops, hold on, just a minute there. Yes?
One more question.
Okay.
How many more witnesses does the state have, do we know?
I venture to bet they have less than two more.
Oh,
really?
Kidding.
That's all?
Well,
this,
I mean,
trial might, well, this trial might
I mean,
be over in a couple of weeks.
The people that are left are more ear witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, only because of the holiday would it go a month. I mean, it's a three-week trial.
Right. Wow. That's going to be interesting.
I mean, they've already
okay.
talked to the detective. They've talked to the eyewitness. They've talked to the crime scene tech. I mean, they may talk to the person that did the polygraph, but for what? He passed it. They don't. They're
right.
not calling any of those people. They're not going to call his parents.
There is
nobody else.
Wow. This trial might be over way before that we even imagined. So Cheryl McCollum from the
Trisha, what you're doing is the most important thing, and that's talking, so that we all can hear the same information and prepare for whatever it might be. And we may all, you know, at the end of this trial go, oh, he's walking, and
mm-hmm.
they find him guilty, or the opposite. You never know.
Right.
But it's just important that everybody keeps those lines of communication open, I think.
Absolutely, and that's why we're going to be on the air every night. There is a court day in session. So Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, you know we love you, and we will talk to you tomorrow night, probably 10:30 Eastern. Thank you so much, my dear. You take care, okay? Bye-bye. And Michael from Minnesota, thank you so much, and to everybody who called in. I have another update on the Dylan Redwine case. Actually comes from Mark Redwine, his father, and Mark Redwine was notified last night that items were found. Now, they haven't said they're Dylan's items, just quote-unquote items were found. He is heading to Durango to meet with investigators. He'll arrive there tomorrow about 1 o'clock, and both parents are expected in Durango. I'm going to try and get one or both or somebody from the Redwine family to come on my Sunday show, and hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about Dylan Redwine. Do remember this, the opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts or the guests, and I take no responsibility for them. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuth.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. So if you happen to get those cute little true crime panties all in a wad over something that was said, you can't blame it on WebSleuth. You can't blame it on ForumsForJustice.org. You just come to me. And we'll talk. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio. We'll see you tomorrow night, probably 10:30 Eastern, where we discuss current events and true crime. And we always, always, always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.